The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Steal by Severini from Bucinetic. What a job. He sends to the middle of the ice. Without a 20 seconds left in overtime. The Sharks have got a hustle here. Long feed for Severini. He breaks into the zone. He stick handles to his left. He's got Orloff in front. There's the pass. Orloff grabs it, shoots it, and a save. It's knocked wide by the goaltender Hofer. One last chance for the Blues. 7 seconds left in overtime. Here comes Holloway moving in. He tries to go to the slot, and he scores! Less than 3 seconds left in overtime, and Holloway, with one last chance for the St. Louis Blues, goes to the backhand and goes up top on Alex Nedeljkovic. The final score in overtime, the Blues 2, the Sharks 1. San Jose's winless streak is now at 6 games. What an effort, what a disappointment at the end.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're disappointed with the results. Even today we have a chance to win this game and we don't. So frustration, yeah, I mean, you play this game, we're in this position right now to fight for a playoff spot and we're letting ourselves down. So, but I mean, it's part of it as well. I mean, it's not going to be easy. I don't think anyone's right now is giving up at all. I feel like right now we just got to recharge and look forward to the next game. I mean, there's still opportunities, there's still chances. We're playing some good hockey, so the mindset's got to be the same. Just one game at a time, you just give it all.
All right, good morning, everyone. That was a rough one last night when you give up a game-winning goal with 2-point-something seconds left in overtime. That is a bit of a gut punch. The San Jose Sharks currently find themselves with 71 points on the season, 32-31-7, so that is 32-38 overall. They've only won 2 out of their last 10. They are currently 6 points back of the final wild card. They're currently 8 points back of the third place spot in the Pacific Division. So right now for San Jose, they are floundering a little bit. They are falling out of the race, for lack of a better term. And I don't think that there's anything that we can really derive from this other than they are hitting the wall. They are tired. They are finding out what life is really like in these big moments of the NHL season. And I think that the fact that it's taken us until March 27th to come to this ultimate conclusion is a testament to how great this season has been for San Jose. You know, 71 points in after years in which they won 39 games combined over the past 2 is a gigantic step forward. And I don't think anyone is denying that, but I think that because there was this flirtation of a playoff spot for so long that, you know, you start to get your hopes up a little bit. And I'm not saying it's over, by the way. The Sharks have 12 games left. A lot of things can change. You know, Nashville can cool down. Utah has cooled down. They're only 3-5-2 in their last 10. If you look at the way that the teams in front of San Jose have played lately, this is what makes it all the more frustrating. Winnipeg, 4-4-2. Not amazing, but that's points in the majority of their games, 6 out of 10. Seattle, 3-6-1. Not great. LA, 4-2-4. That's a lot of points from their games, 8 points that they've gotten, or 8 games they've gotten points from, but only 4 wins. Nashville at 6-3-1 is the only one that's posting a really good record over the last 10, and I don't know if 6-3-1 is amazing. But then you look at Utah, 3-5-2, not amazing. Vegas, 3-6-1. Edmonton, 6-3-1. Anaheim, 6-3-1. It's not like the Sharks couldn't have made up ground over these last 6 games. That's when you get into the ultimate frustration of what's been going on, is the opportunities have been there for San Jose. They have simply not been able to get the wins. They have simply not been able to push themselves forward, have not been able to get themselves in that win category, in that overall, you know, upper echelon place that could have launched them forward in the standings. So from that standpoint, there is frustration, but it also tells you that no one is really running away from this right now or running away with this right now. The only team that's performed particularly well lately is Nashville. Now, the one thing we have to take into account is that St. Louis, who is behind San Jose in the standings right now in seventh place, tied in points with San Jose, they've been great. They've won 7 out of their last 10, 8 out of their last 11. You know, they're 7-1-2. They've won 3 in a row. They are playing some really good hockey, and they have a chance to pass up San Jose. But, you know, we have to be realistic about where everything is right now. It'd be hard for St. Louis or San Jose to make a push to get into the top of the standings right now, or get into the wild card, I should say. But, you know, the Sharks have had their opportunities all year long, and they have not been able to forge ahead. And that's something that I've been talking about in the last couple of weeks, is that they are more in line with a quote-unquote 500 team, and now they've dropped beneath 500. But they have been around that mark all year for a reason, because they're not a particularly amazing team. I mean, you look at, you know, the last place team in the East right now, you know, the Rangers, they have 65 points. The ninth place team, or in the playoff race at least, is the Florida Panthers with 73 points. That's more than San Jose. And San Jose is, you know, within shouting distance of a playoff spot. You look at the, you know, the playoff standings in the East, you go to the Islanders, they have 87 points. And you compare that to the 77 points that Nashville has right now as the second wild card. So, you know, there is a bit of disparity in terms of the East and West right now. And there also is the reality that it's a long season. You got to wait until it's finished to see where it all evens out, and crazy things can happen. Could the Sharks go on a massive rectification from their 6-game losing streak? They are tied for longest of the season and turned it into a 6-game winning streak. Of course, anything is possible at this point, but I think that when you see Macklin Celebrini on the last play of the game not being able to have the gas to get back, when you see other points during the game when, you know, guys just look like they're a little bit tired, that doesn't happen by accident. That's the result of a long season that has a tremendous, you know, impact on these young players, especially when Macklin Celebrini also played in the Olympics, starred in the Olympics, plays at such a high level, plays at such a high pace. I know that there are people out there blaming Warsofsky right now, because I read the stuff on social media. If you think that that's not Macklin Celebrini going out there demanding to be out there on the ice, I think you should have a hard, hard look at what superstar players in sports are in terms of how they call the shots on their own playtime. Steph Curry, if he tells Steve Curry needs to be out there in big games, he's going to be out there. Connor McDavid, he's going to be out there. I mean, you go down the list of these big-time players in motion sports, you know, they're going to be out there. They're going to play to the end. It's not like Messi's going to be asking for a sub in the 67th minute of a World Cup final. They're going to play all the way to the end. They are the best chance to help their teams win, and they're going to give themselves every single opportunity to do so. It's not Warsofsky riding Macklin Celebrini. Macklin Celebrini is demanding to be out there on the ice. Now, could Ryan Warsofsky step in and tell Macklin that he's not going to go out on the ice, or that he's going to cut back on his ice time? I'm sure he could. I'm sure he also understands that to foster that relationship, he has to understand that Macklin Celebrini is going to be demanding to be out there on the ice as much as possible. And he has to not deal with that, but that's just a reality of what being the coach to a superstar player is like. They are going to have a desire to be out there on the ice as much as possible. And I think that's a, you know, a give and take relationship that, you know, you have to, you know, understand that your athlete has the chance to burn themselves out. And I don't think Macklin's burned out. I think he was just gassed at the end of that game. But that's the way it goes. And it's not just Macklin Celebrini's fault. They couldn't get off the ice. They didn't have possession in overtime. That's a reality. We saw it in the first win of the year, and excuse me, the second win of the year in Minnesota. The Sharks were out there for minutes and minutes and minutes. You know, and then finally they had a quick change. Then Macklin comes back onto the ice and is able to find a breakaway. You know, that's overtime hockey. I'm sure Ryan Warsofsky would have liked to have made a change before that point, but that's just not the way it was going to go down in that game. So, you know, that's one frustrating part of it, is that you can see some of the guys are wearing it. The Yaroslav Askarov injury was just, I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was looked, you know, relatively innocuous when they went down, and then he stayed down. It was like, oh, crap. And I thought maybe it was lower body, but then the way that he was reaching back towards his neck, or maybe he hit his head, I wasn't really sure. I mean, you can kind of, you can go down awkwardly and a neck injury can pop up and bad things happen. And it's unfortunate, because Askarov was playing really well. My hope is that it was something like a stinger, something like a very, very acute injury that was going to be of the game and not hold him out for any longer. We got the update later from the Sharks PR that he was not going to be back into the game. But you know, we didn't get any sort of prognosis of when he would return to the lineup or anything like that. I'm sure we'll find out more later today or tomorrow. So for San Jose right now, it's about surviving. It's about getting through the thick of things here and trying to give themselves an opportunity to continue on in this playoff race, because I know it looks dire right now, but again, they are only 6 points back. They do still have two games in hand, and a win streak is a win streak. If it starts to happen, you know, then you see what happens from there on out. But last night's game was a much better performance than what we saw in Nashville. Let's get that out of the way. The Sharks came up with a much better effort. They came up with a game that was capable of winning that. You know, you got to give credit to the goalies. You only give up one goal by the time you're going into overtime. What's frustrating is that that's where your offense needs to step up and give your goalies of, you know, Ned came in after Askarov got hurt on a day that was supposed to be his off day. Not that he wasn't ready in any capacity, but, you know, he came in and did his job, and the Sharks did not get the offensive support they needed. Now, Hofer on the other side, he's been playing out of his mind lately. He's been absolutely phenomenal, and that's a testament to how good the goaltending can be in St. Louis. But really, you know, when I look at what that game was, it was the Sharks having a much better performance. They rectified a lot of the problems that they had against Nashville. Their defensive structure was much better. The little things out there on the ice, they took better control of the puck. Yeah, were their turnovers, of course, but they took much better control of the puck. They took much better, you know, possession. They had, you know, their opportunities. They were controlling the play of the game. They were dictating pace and tempo. They just couldn't break through a brick wall. You know, that's the reality of how it goes sometimes when you run into a good netminder in the NHL. You are not going to find the success that you would like to have if a guy can stop the shots. Now, you can argue that you should get lower, you should get deeper, you know, into the greasy, tight areas and try and find a tip play or try and get low and, you know, have a bang, bang backdoor play. And, you know, I guess if they do everything perfectly, you can walk away with those. But some nights you're going to get stopped anyway. You get the chances you can get. And if you get shut out, you got to tip your hat to the other team's goalie. But it was a tough, tough game for San Jose, but they gave themselves every chance possible. It goes to overtime. You know, again, they give themselves every chance possible. You give up a goal with 2 point some odd seconds remaining. I am still of the belief that I'd rather lose that way than, you know, lose in a shootout. I'm supposed, you know, you could have win in a shootout, but at that point, I don't even know what that has to do with the game that we saw. So that's my opinion on it. But, you know, it's not more or less satisfying way to lose. A loss is a loss, but, you know, at least you got beat in a game that resembles what you did for the previous 60 minutes as opposed to a skills competition. So I'll take that any day of the week. But it's frustrating that San Jose did so much right and walked away with just 1 point out of this game. That's, you know, a callback to what we saw the last couple of years with San Jose, where their hard work was not rewarded. One of my favorite parts of this year is that San Jose's work has gone rewarded. And the way they were playing last night, they were not stopping their feet. They were not turning the puck over. They were not trying to hit the home run pass constantly. They were not making poor decisions. They were creating opportunities. It just didn't result in a 2-point performance. And so that's life in the NHL. I wish it was more complicated than that. I wish there was a more diverse answer that I could give you of why the Sharks lost, but they ran into a good goalie. Otherwise, they did a lot of what you need to do right to win a game in the NHL. You know, the breaks go your way, the breaks don't go your way. That's life. And so the Sharks walk away with just 1 point. But, you know, Macklin Celebrini, I thought, played a good game. I thought Alex Wennberg played a good game. And obviously he had a big goal for San Jose, and you love to see when he show up. You know, he's such a leader for the team. He has, you know, even though he's Swedish, he's got the Captain America look. And the way he spoke after the game last night, very much like Alex Nedeljkovic 2 nights ago. He's one of those guys who knows how to speak for the team. And I know that Macklin Celebrini this year has been sounding much more like a captain, has been sounding much more like that, I would say, the Logan Couture type, where he comes in there and he wears it and you can tell how much the loss hurts him and you can tell how much pain there is and frustration with the game coming to an end the way that it did. But, you know, when Alex Wennberg speaks, when Alex Nedeljkovic speaks, these guys know how to relay the message a little bit more because they're veterans in the NHL. They know how to, you know, give greater answers to the media in terms of its length, in terms of its detail, in terms of the message. They're a little bit on board with the media side of things because they've been doing it a lot longer. And Alex Wennberg is one of those guys who, you know, can go out there and can speak for the team. And he's going to be not as, I think, viscerally emotional as we saw from Macklin after the game last night. I mean, Macklin, I saw it last year. A lot of times he would have the 1,000-yard stare where he'd just be pissed off. And I've seen it many times this year. go down to the dressing room, and I can see him really, really angry. But, you know, last night in Macklin's face, I felt like he felt that the effort he put in overtime was not good enough, and he was ticked off about that, and he thinks that he should bail the team out in every single game. And I think that that's a very selfless attitude to have for Macklin, but, you know, he can't always be the hero as much as he wants to be. I mean, Connor McDavid is not always the hero. Nathan MacKinnon is not always the hero. You know, Jack Eichel, you know, you go down the list of all these great players in the NHL, they can't always be the hero. You need other guys to step up. And, you know, Macklin said, I believe in his postgame conference, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said that he felt like he let the team down. And, you know, when you have 96 points, when you have dragged the team out of a rebuild, when you have become one of the new faces of the NHL, when you were the top goal scorer for Team Canada at the Olympics, Macklin has not let anyone down this year. But I could see it in his face, and I could hear it in his words, and I could understand the tone and tenor of his voice that, you know, he felt like this was on him, and it shouldn't be. It's a team sport. And as much as we all say that one guy has an opportunity to win a game, you know, he can put the game on his stick, it's because of the chances and the opportunities and the play by all other guys on the ice up to that point that allows that player to either win or stop or save, or however we're going to phrase it, you know, have that impact on the game. The player stars in the moment, the team plays the game. And so for Macklin Celebrini, he has been the star in so many of those moments, and his team play has been a huge part of why San Jose has been able to push themselves into this moment. But, you know, again, you watch his reaction versus an Alex Wennberg, and, you know, I understand, you know, Macklin Celebrini is the face of the Sharks now, but I would like to see him take a page out of Alex Wennberg, out of his book, and be able to, you know, not be so devastated by the loss and just be able to brush it off and move on, because I think that Macklin Celebrini will need to be able to move on. And, you know, Joe Thornton, I saw him after many losses. The playoff losses were different. You know, Joe would be very emotional after some of those losses, and you could understand, you know, the way that he felt. But after a regular season loss, you know, Joe would laugh about it and say, we'll get the next one. And I saw that, you know, Logan Couture would always be really ticked off, but, you know, he would be angry about the team's play overall, and he would be able to look towards the next one. And, you know, Pavelski, go down the list of these guys, they would be able to manage it a little bit better, but they were never 19 years old with the same type of onus and the same type of attention that Macklin Celebrini now has as a superstar in the NHL, and, you know, a superstar the likes of which were relatively seen for the first time in the NHL, because the social media landscape, even compared to 2014 when Connor McDavid was first coming up in the podcast sphere, and the way that, you know, non-traditional media has exploded the popularity of Macklin Celebrini is very, very different. So it's unique. It's unique, and Macklin Celebrini is currently getting the rock star treatment, and that comes with rock star pressures and rock star microscope in terms of every aspect of your life and your game, and if anybody can handle it, it is Macklin Celebrini. So it's a tough world for that kid right now, and I don't use the term kid lightly, but he's 19 years old. He doesn't turn 20 till June, the middle of the month, and so Macklin Celebrini is in the midst of a He's learning what life is like in the NHL. And the entirety of the Young Sharks team, I mean, it's not just Macklin. It's Will Smith. It's Colin Graf. It's Yaroslav Askarov. It's William Eklund. It's all these young guys. You know, it's Igor Chernyshov. They're all figuring out what life is like when you're in a playoff race in the NHL. And it's probably exactly as difficult as they would have imagined it to be. And I don't want to talk too much about next year yet, because they are still firmly in the midst of a playoff chase. They have their chances. They have games left. It's going to be a wild ride to the finish, but I'm a big believer of making sure that you maximize whatever comes out of these final stretch of games, whether or not it is that push to the finish and getting into the playoffs, or whether it is getting eliminated with a handful of games left. You have to make sure that these experiences matter as you go into the next season. Not too many highlights for the Sharks out of last night's game before we get to some post-game commentary, but I did want to give you some Alex Wennberg scoring, at least. Here's the call on that one.
Here's Kessel shooting it. Save. Rebound in front. Trouble. Finley tried to get it. Wennberg, great defensive play. Sharks break it out. Down the left comes Eklund. Across the line. Goes to Wennberg. Moving in. Score! Alex Wennberg rips the shot off a great pass from William Eklund. And at 5:04 of the third period, the Sharks have come back and tied this game 1-1.
Great call there from Ruzy. Great sound mix, by the way. I'm going to tell Ruzy to give the engineer in St. Louis a a pat on the back. Love the way that broadcast sounded last night. But that was the Sharks' lone goal of the game. You did get some big, big moments, though, from Alex Nedeljkovic. He was awesome coming in and giving the Sharks a chance all the way to the very end.
Kept in by Fowler. Checked away by Wennberg. Fed behind it. Oh, no! Centering pass in front. Save made by Nedeljkovic on a deke by Dvorsky. He was all by himself in front with 1:10 left in overtime.
Yeah, Nedeljkovic was big for San Jose all last night. Gave the team a chance to the very, very end, which of course happened with fewer than 3 seconds remaining.
A steal by Sedovini from Bucinovic. What a job. He sends to the middle of the ice. We're down to 20 seconds left in overtime. The Sharks have got a hustle here. Long feet for Celebrini. He breaks into the zone. He stick handles to his left. He's got Orloff in front. There's the pass. Orloff grabs it, shoots it, and a save. It's knocked wide by the goaltender, Hofer. One last chance for the Blues. 7 seconds left in overtime. Here comes Hathaway moving in. He tries to go to the slot, and he scores! Less than 3 seconds left in overtime, and Hathaway, with one last chance for the St. Louis Blues, goes to the backhand and goes up top on Alex Nedeljkovic. The final score in overtime, the Blues 2, the Sharks 1. San Jose's winless streak is now at 6 games. What an effort, what a disappointment at the end.
Let's get into some of that post-game reaction out of last night's game. Here is the head coach, Ryan Warsofsky. Very different in his demeanor compared to the Nashville loss. He was not short in his answers. He appreciated his team's effort. You can hear that for yourself.
Yeah, it has to. You know, details were good. I think we had only 7 chances, 5-on-5 again, so that's pretty good. We should win those games. So frustrating with the result, but a step in the right direction.
And I know that you can say, well, of course it's a frustrating result, but I do think he's right about it being a step in the right direction. You need to be able to take baby steps to get out of a losing streak. And sometimes it starts with a good effort. The Sharks gave that good effort last night. They weren't rewarded by it, but they did a lot of things correct that hopefully they can take into this upcoming game against Columbus.
What do you see on the OT goal?
Yeah, we just kind of stopped playing there. We probably think the time's going to run off. Take a little bit of a breath on our back check, and then they put it in.
Is that a lesson to learn for a young team, too, there?
For sure, yeah.
Just talk about Alex Wennberg's goal and just his that ability he has to just kick the puck up his stick. I mean, that's better than anybody else.
Yeah, he's got great feet. He's done it all year long. Thought that line was our best line tonight. They were really going.
Talk also about Sam Dickinson tonight. It seemed like the Nashville game wasn't a game that maybe he would want, mm-hmm. but then really bounce back tonight.
Good response, really good growth moment for him, so hopefully we can keep her going now.
Askarov has to leave the game early. Any update on him?
No, not yet.
Is it upper or lower?
Upper body.
And talk about that Ned having come in cold like that. Made a lot of big saves for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's done it a few times this year. So, but he came in, made some big saves in that second period especially. And, he's done it all year long.
John Klingberg sits out. Was he one of those game time decisions?
Yeah.
John, but does he have lower or upper body?
Lower body.
Will he be with you in Columbus, travel with you?
Yeah, he'll travel with us. I don't know yet if he's going to play or not.
The Dvorsky goal, can you talk about any of the breakdown kind of there on that one? That was kind of a rare defensive breakdown for you.
Yeah, it really starts in the offensive zone. We have the puck, and we run it back underneath. And when we have possession, we want to keep it. So that's step number one. And then just come off the read a little bit. Cherny just needs to track that puck. And then, it's kind of an unfortunate bounce in a sense as well. I don't think the guy's trying to pass it there, but it is what it is. We're going to protect middle ice there.
Ostapchuk took an instigator tonight. There's kind of a frustration with that. There's been a couple that have gone against you. Mayhew looked like he took a goddad, maybe mm-hmm. awarded there, but that goes uncalled. So any frustration?
Yeah, we got to look at it. I think, Chucky and our guys stick up for one another. You probably want to bait him in a little bit more so you don't get the instigator. So something that we'll look at.
Also, I wanted to ask you, too, with Macklin, obviously took the loss hard. Hasn't been as productive as obviously he would want recently. You have to talk with him about just taking things too hard, putting things too much on himself.
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep my conversations private with Mac and I, and he's a competitive kid. I'm not going to ever take that away from him. That's what makes him great. So he's learning and he's growing just like any of our young players, and he's going to get better and better, and he's going to win a lot of hockey games in his career, so there's no issues there.
And how about Nick Leddy coming back here and just his performance tonight? He helped us stabilize things for him and just in general.
He's played some really good hockey when he's came in. It really helps calm our defense down back there. There's more predictability. He's played some good hockey.
Yeah, I think it's a great story that Leddy has been able to get back into this lineup and has played really, really well. I do agree that the calming presence that he's had on the defense, and that's what experience brings. I know that he's, you know, very late in the stages of his career, but I think it's great that he's earned this opportunity. Totally professional with the Barracuda, and now he's back in the lineup for the Sharks. And with Klingberg, you know, potentially out again, they're going to need him.
And overall, good effort for you guys tonight, but obviously not the result you wanted. What needs to be better for the next game in Columbus?
Yeah, we'll watch the film. We'll regroup. You know, have a good practice tomorrow. We'll look at it. Some, you know, if there's some adjustments we can make to maybe put the puck in the back of the net a little bit more. But you know, you're gonna get. There's gonna be times in your season where you're not scoring and it's just not going in. So the rest of our game can't change. You know, so there's a good recipe right there for success. We do that. We stick to it. We'll get the result.
And so overall, were you pretty satisfied with just the consistency of your guys' effort and game?
Yeah, you know, again, I thought we, you know, put a pretty good road game. Didn't give much. Our details were good. Did a lot of good things. But it's frustrating with the result. You know, that's just it. You know, so this time of year, you got to find a way to get 2 points, and it's unfortunate the way we lose. I think is the frustrating part.
I want to give you some Wenberg as well, but first hear a little bit of Macklin, and again, you can hear it in his voice just how frustrated he was after the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. I mean, that game was so in reach, and I mean, I need to come back harder, and I just misjudged it, and he scored, and it's frustrating.
What happened on that OT goal? You misjudged it?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to kind of come back, be patient for maybe a late guy, but I mean, I didn't know he was going to kind of cut in the middle there, and I also didn't feel like there was that much time left, so I should have been there for the guys.
Like I said, you can hear it in his voice. He was furious. He was angry. He was upset. And Macklin Celebrini is the type of player that will internalize that and use it as fuel. But I also think that one of the learning processes in the game of professional sports is not letting these losses devastate you. Yes, if it's in the playoffs, if it's in, you know, the last game of the year where you have a chance to win the game and you lose and you miss out on the playoffs, you know, that's the time to be that much more upset, but I think he needs to learn to brush these off just a little bit more. And I know that's an easy criticism for me to make. Not even a criticism, a critique more than anything. I just think that, you know, I could tell that he was wearing it, and, you know, no one has done more for the franchise this year than Macklin Celebrini, and I love that he's that upset. I just don't know if it's in his best interest to be that upset. Here's Alex Wenberg.
Yeah, overall, I feel like it's a way better performance. At the end of the day, we're still coming away with just 1 point instead of two, so not the result we want. But, I mean, compared to the games before and this game, I feel like it was a step in the right direction. So definitely something to build on, definitely something that we talked about to improve. So another opportunity to play another game and be better.
Did tonight feel like one of the, like a playoff-like performance from you guys? The kind of win that can, the kind of performance that can get you wins at this kind of time?
I think it's a step in the right direction. I feel like we can still improve. Obviously, we got to score more goals. I mean, obviously, the goaltenders are giving us this chance right now to win this game, and scoring one goal today, it's not going to be enough. So obviously, something we need to work on. But I mean, right now, yeah, I mean, we're not really getting the lucky bounces. We're not really getting those rebounds. So obviously, something we need to change. So I think it comes down to our effort and what we do.
What'd you see on the OT goal?
I mean, I don't like my change right there. Obviously, try to get some fresh legs. He's making a good play. I mean, unfortunately, with the how many seconds are left. So bad read by me. We got to help out the goaltender a little bit more. But that part, we just got to fight it through.
Disappointment, frustration visible in the answers of everyone you heard from there. Ryan Warsawski, Macklin Celebrini, and Alex Wenberg. But you can also tell that these guys recognize that they did a lot of things correctly in the game, that they rectified many of the mistakes that they made in the game against Nashville, but unfortunately it just was not enough for San Jose to walk away with 2 points. The San Jose Sharks are back at it Saturday afternoon. This is a 2 o'clock start time, 1:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. They finish up this three-game road trip before they're back home to take on St. Louis on Monday. And then it is Anaheim, it is Toronto on the Wednesday, Thursday, back-to-back. Saturday game against Nashville, then Monday against Chicago, Wednesday against the Oilers, Thursday back out onto the road to take on the Ducks, Saturday against Vancouver, then at Nashville on the road, at Chicago on the road, and then at Winnipeg on the road to finish up the season. So it's going to be a wild ride to the finish here, folks. We are out of time. We'll see y'all Saturday at 2 for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.